Please join us in this opening hymn entitled Built on the Rock, found on page 648 of the Lutheran Service Book. We'll be singing all five verses. This Sunday is the 13th Sunday after Pentecost. Pastor Magruder is basing his sermon on the epistle coming from the book of Romans. He will read that for you here shortly, along with the gospel coming from the book of St. Matthew, chapter 16. Additional readings for us this Sunday is Psalm 138 and the Old Testament reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 51, verses 1 through 6. So here is Pastor David Magruder, the pastor of Peace with Christ Lutheran Church, with the sermon for this Sunday, By the Mercies of God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. This is the word of the Lord. A reading from Romans chapters 11 and 12. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that, by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, Amen. I appeal to you, therefore, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. The Apostle Paul builds his appeal on everything that has come before in the first 11 chapters of Romans. The bad news first. Universal condemnation under God's law for the Israelite, the pagan, and everyone. And then the good news, the mercies of God, that is, the rescue from sin and death for the world in the atoning death of Jesus. That's Romans chapters 3 through 8. It's your baptism into that death by which you are buried with Christ and declared dead to the lordship of sin, but alive to the lordship of Christ. Your being at once a sinner in Adam and a saint in Christ, with two wills warring within you, flesh and spirit contending with each other, even as the flesh goes to death and the spirit goes to life. All of this feeds into Paul's therefore and his appeal to be the people that you are. It is by the mercies of God that he makes this appeal. This is not a commandment, but an exhortation to be who you are in Christ. Christ offered his body as a bloody sacrifice on the cross. Now you, as a baptized child of God, offer your bodies as unbloody, living sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving. So don't be conformed to this world and the way it thinks. Rather, Paul says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That's what the word repentance actually means. It means to come to a new mind, a transformation of that mind of yours, which is in Christ Jesus, the mind which serves the law of God. And the image that Paul uses is of that of an Old Testament priest. No priest is holy in himself. He must be washed before he takes up priestly service. He must be covered in a robe that hides him. In the Old Testament, a priest had to first sacrifice for his own sin before he could deal with the sins of the people. The blood that he sprinkled first had to fall on him. You were washed in baptism. You were clothed with Christ's perfect righteousness. He washes you. He clothes you. He pays for your sin with his blood so that you can serve as his priest. And a priest never serves alone. You are priests in a royal priesthood, to borrow from Peter's image. Just as you are members of one body, there is no such thing as an individual, isolated believer in the Scriptures. No matter which image of the church you choose, citizens of a kingdom, stones in a temple, members of a body, priests in a priesthood, the biblical view of the believer is always as a part of a larger whole. Even when you pray by yourself, with the doors locked and it's just you and your Father in heaven, you say, as Jesus taught, "Our Father," or "Give us this day our daily bread." This is a great mistake that we fall into, the individualization of Christianity. So, we use language to talk about our faith that isn't faithful. It's all about me or my personal walk with Jesus. Well, that's the old Adam talking, not the new man. The old Adam, our old flesh, is the me first you, who's always looking at what's in it for me. But when you come together with your fellow priests to hear and receive and to pray, praise and give thanks, you are offering your bodies as a living sacrifice. Priests pray, they offer sacrifices, they give thanks. And you have gifts. Each of us is gifted by God in some way for the common good of the congregation. St. Paul says, when you consider your gifts, think soberly and humbly, with the measure of faith God has given you. But know this, you are gifted by God as a member of Christ's priesthood. You have a gift to offer God by giving to your neighbor, some way to offer your body as a living sacrifice. U.S. President Kennedy once said famously, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." The Apostle Paul might have put it this way: ask not what the body of Christ can do for you, but ask what you can do as a member of the body, as a priest in the priesthood, can do for the body of Christ. The church is where you learn to receive and be given to, and where you learn to give yourself away, because in Christ you have nothing to lose. Now, the gifts God gives us may look ordinary and not terribly spiritual in the way we think of spiritual things. Prophesying, teaching, exhorting, contributing, leading, doing works of mercy. While prophesying may sound kind of spiritual, it's really a dangerous activity. Just ask the prophets who were sawed in half or thrown into dry wells. But serving on a church board, or doing tasks around the church building, or placing your envelope in an offering box doesn't seem spiritual. But these are your spiritual worship, and they are the exercise of your gifts for the common good of the body of Christ. And the body can't function without them. We can't do what we do or what we want to do without the gifts you bring of time and treasure. Again, this is a great challenge for us, this offering of our spiritual worship. Each of us needs to examine this in our own lives for the sake of the whole church. It requires some thought on our part and commitment flowing from forgiveness. Flowing from forgiveness. That's the key. This all happens in view of the mercies of God. It's not from obligation, as if God wanted to wring out of you every last good deed you have. No, in view of the mercies of God. We love our congregation and her members. We serve, we pray, we give, we witness to others because the mercy of God given us in Jesus. We speak because we have been spoken to by God. We teach as we are taught. We give as we have been given to. We serve because we have been served by God Himself. We show mercy because we have been shown mercy by God. Jesus, the high priest, offered his body on the cross as an atoning sacrifice to pay for our sins and to remove our guilt and shame and to give us life. Your bodies are his, redeemed by his blood. You were bought with a price, the Bible says. You are holy and acceptable in Christ. Now present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your spiritual worship. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Please join us for the sermon hymn found on page 575 of the Lutheran Service Book entitled, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. We will be singing verses 1, 3, and 4.
My hope is built on
on Christ the solid.
confess the holy Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us all pray the prayer that the Lord taught us, the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Pastor Magruder with the closing collect for this Sunday.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whom to know is everlasting life, grant us to know your Son, Jesus, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may boldly confess him to be the Christ, and steadfastly walk in the way that leads to life eternal. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Our closing hymn is a classic I'm sure you'll recognize. The Church is One Foundation, found on page 644 of the Lutheran Service Book. Unfortunately, we only have time for singing verses 2 and 5.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Thank you for joining us here on our website broadcast here at Peace with Christ. Until next week, go in peace and serve the Lord.